Now, I did say to you earlier on that we'll be having a conversation or continuing the conversation of overthinking. We started this on Tuesday, unpacking the weight, the journey, and the sometimes prison that overthinking is in our lives. And today we rounded off by looking outside of the perspective of what we see in the lives of those in Scripture by bringing in someone who works with this quite often to help us navigate that place and to remind us yet again that we are not the only ones who go through this and that there is hope and freedom for all of us who may be victims of overthinking. Joining me this afternoon is Marijke, who is a master transformation coach, NLP practitioner, a registered psychometrist, and an honors psychology graduate. She's someone who's absolutely loved just being able to speak into the lives of people and be able to empower them so that they know that they too can be able to step out of whatever place that they feel that psychologically they may be stuck in and to be able to transform their lives all the way to the better. Marijke Groenewald, good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for that beautiful introduction.
No lies detected. No lies detected at all.
Oh, that's amazing.
Marijke, we've been chatting about overthinking over the last couple of days here on the Afternoon Drive with Khosi, and one of the things that's disturbing for me is at the start of the conversation, we realized there's a statistic that says over 70% of 25 to 35-year-olds are stuck in overthinking, and over 50% between 35 and 45 are also overthinking. Mm. So we realize that this is something that is very prevalent in your work. Mm. How often do you see that people are held back because of their overthinking?
I see that on a daily basis. I mean, I work with people from young to old, any type of person, and I see it every single day. And the problem is we buy into those stories of the overthinking. And just before we started, I mentioned to you how ironic it is, or how synchronicities happen, because this is a topic that I've been speaking quite a lot about the last few days, because there's an amazing book that somehow found its way to me.
Yeah.
And since I've applied certain of those elements, you know, it's the first time that I could actually start quieting that voice a bit, because I was always also a bit prone to overthinking. And it's usually people that is more auditory. And a lot of people, you find people that takes in the information visually, auditory, or kinesthetic.
Yeah.
And you will find that most people are very auditory orientated, which means they are very prone to sound distractions. They are very focused on what they sound like, and they tend to overthink and self-talk more than someone that might be a visual person or kinesthetic.
Mm.
And so that's one of the reasons why we might be a bit more prone, and most people get prone to overthinking.
Yeah. And, you know, when I think about this, I mean, I look back into my life and there's so many areas where I'm realizing I am absolutely consumed by overthinking. I just feel like I've got areas where I can point back and say, you're stuck because you've been consumed. In actual fact, if I can bring it back to life, I look back at my joining Impact Radio. I've loved radio since I did my early 12, 13, 14 year old. And it only took me up until 2020, we'll leave the maths as to how old that is to somebody else, for me to then feel like I can be able to do it. Fast forward 4 years later, still loving this and able to step into it. But people don't get to the eventually I crossed it. And maybe this is where I'd love to tap into your experience in terms of what do you see are the effects that most people find are going to be experiencing as a result of overthinking. I may be thinking, well, I never get to try out a career in radio, which I love. But for some other people, it might be a little bit more drastic than what it is for me.
Yes. Overthinking can actually cause a lot of anxiety and even depression, because the mind tends to overthink things that might go wrong in the future or get stuck in what happened in the past. And then there's thinking patterns that tends to continuously repeat themselves. And that happens subconsciously, because our brain gets wired from birth up until now. And the way that I've been conditioned and influenced by my environment, or things that people say to me and so forth, if I start recalling and repeating those things that happened in the past, I'm actually strengthening the neural thought patterns in my brain. which makes my thought patterns more prone to run those thought patterns. Sure. The same with things that might go wrong in the future. So if I keep saying, for example, life is tough, things are difficult, I'm not coping, the more that you are repeating the same thought pattern, you are strengthening the actual thought pattern, the neural thought pattern in your brain.
Mm.
And automatically, the mind always follows the path of least resistance. So even though I want to be positive, automatically my mind will run the pathways that's been strengthened over time. That's the stuff that I've been repeating and repeating to myself. So now it's automatic that my mind goes that way. And one of the questions I often get from clients is, but why am I so inclined to the negative? Why do I focus on the negative and not the positive? Now, it's a protection mechanism of the mind or the brain. If you go back in time, primitive times, that part of the mind is always scanning our environment for threats. Now, if you look back in time, it was a lion chasing me, or it is scarcity of food, etc. Today, that part of my brain is still very much active, and it is scanning my environment for potential threats.
Yeah.
But this, in our day and age of that we live in now, those threats are being stuck in traffic, a deadline, a difficult boss, this, that, financial stress, etc. And the brain keeps on being alerted that this is a threat. So my mind automatically goes to the negative, if I can call it that. And that, if I keep my focus and attention there, it will create overthinking, overanalyzing, etc.
Yeah.
But there is a way to start disconnecting from that.
And I think that's an area I would love to get into, because for a lot of people, it almost feels like it's easy if, you know, in a latter stage in your life to then feel like, oh my goodness, I've been overthinking. Oh, well, I guess I can just carry on as normal. I've lost my opportunity to do that. And we're going to unpack that in a moment. But I got a message a couple of days ago where someone was just saying, you know, overthinking is linked to mental health too. And going on to speak about how this week they actually have a heaviness in their chest, symptoms of anxiety, of overthinking things at work, and how my colleagues are handling projects that they're both working on. And I just freak out if things are not done as certain way to avoid back and forth changes. And one of the things we're talking about is that it's a control thing. But I'd love to just double click into that. You know, mental health is a hot word in the last 4 years, 5 years, probably. But it's something that's real. It's a hot word because it's something that affects a lot of people. Let's talk into that space especially. Okay. Help us understand, because I think many of us, we hear anxiety often that we don't even really know what that looks like or what that means and how it materializes in my own life.
Exactly. So what happens is, when there's very new research that actually recently was done, neuroscience. Now, they used to think that the brain has more neural networks speaking to the body, right?
Yeah.
But recently they have found that there's more neural connections from the heart moving up to the brain, which means they've realized that actually the heart communicates to the brain. Now, if you are in stressful situations, where do you feel it? You feel it in your heart. You feel stressed. You feel tension. And that creates an incoherent heart rate as well. Because if I'm in stress, irritation, frustration, anxiety, etc., my heart rate isn't regular. Now, what happens is that irregular heartbeat, incoherent heartbeat, gets communicated to the brain. Then the brain's brainwaves syncs with those patterns. And that creates an incoherent mindset, negative thoughts, brain fog. There's so many elements actually that plays a big role, you know, in mental health. But our thoughts and our emotions are connected to each other. They're not separate. So the more that I have those negative emotions and feelings, it directly impacts the brain, and that leads to mental health issues, you know.
And of course, just being imprisoned by that space that you find
absolutely
yourself in. Marika, I'm listening to this conversation. I'm sitting in my car and I'm just like, oh my goodness, this is me. You are talking about me. You're absolutely just airing my dirty laundry here on radio. But I want out.
Yes.
I've had enough. It's kept me back for far too long. What are some of the things that people can do now? To stop that chain and that regular run of
absolutely
overthinking?
Absolutely. So awareness is key. The first thing is, awareness is everything. So if I can ask you now, sitting here, Can you notice that voice in your mind?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who's noticing it?
I am. I'm almost feeling like I'm back in school right now.
So you are noticing the thoughts.
Yeah.
Which means, are you the one observing or are you the thoughts?
Ooh, jeepers.
Deep.
Yeah. See, airing my dirty laundry.
So we have to realize that we are not our thoughts.
Yeah.
We tend to buy into those stories that we are the emotion. I am the thoughts. You are the observer. So if you can have that disconnect between, I have the ability to observe my thoughts. My thoughts is fear-based.
Yeah.
It all derives back to fear. So everything I'm thinking is to protect myself. Because, you know, what I said, that wasn't good. I should have said this. Or, oh, this one didn't answer my phone back. You know, did I say something wrong? So that mind kind of goes crazy. Yeah. But that's just the mind. It's the brain, which is it's the ego. So it is a compilation of my conditioning throughout my life, which is just analyzing all the information around me.
Sure.
But I'm not that.
Yeah.
I'm the observer. So if I am the observer, I don't have to buy into those stories because it's not real. It's just analysis. And we need to actually be open to feeling those emotions and not trying to hide away from it and protect ourselves, because that's why the overthinking happens. Because you've mentioned control. It's all about, we want to control every single thing around us so that we can be okay.
Sure.
And that's not realistic. Instead of just accepting life the way it is and going through life, being open and surrendering control.
Yeah.
And going through life and just noticing your thoughts, noticing your feelings, and dealing with them and letting them go.
Yeah.
Instead of harboring them.
Sure. Oh, I feel like I've been sitting down and being nourished right now. And I think what you're saying is so true. That awareness of just being able to separate the two is, yes, so important, because so many times we really feel like they are one. And, yes, and I am a terrible person, and I am, based on whatever the thought is. Before we wrap up our time together, Marika, for someone who feels, like I was saying earlier, that they're at a stage in life where it's just gone too far. They've overthought their career decisions, their marriage, the way they raise their kids, the way they make their business decisions. And they feel like they've just crossed that line. Is it too late for them?
No, never. I've been working with clients for any age. And sometimes it feels they wish they did it early in their life. But you know what? Everything happens exactly when it should. So it's never not, you know, it's never too late. But I would say, if you are so caught up in your emotions, that's overwhelming you and your thoughts, get help. You know, see a coach, a counselor, etc. Find someone that can support you and help you just to change your perspective. You know, Wayne Dyer said, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at changes. And we can't always change our own perspective because we are so caught up in our own mindset and our own reality that we can't see anything else. So I would suggest, if you're struggling on your own, find help, because there's nothing wrong in asking for help. You know, it's a growth process. We all go through it. We all need some assistance to see things in a different way.
Yeah, no, fantastic, Marika. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
I feel like this has unpacked it so beautifully, and it's left a lot of people just feeling like there's hope for them. There is really another chance, and that they're not alone. That you, like you were talking about the thoughts and myself identifying it. In that moment, I feel like, jeepers, I've actually seen that happen. And I appreciate how you've just journeyed with people to say, hey, that is what it looks like. Actually be able to assess it and see how it looks like. And then from there, make the decision not to listen to it. So thank you so much for your time.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
It's Marika Groenewald who is joining us right here on The Afternoon Drive, transformation and neuro coach, leaving you with some wisdom and leaving you with some moments for you to consider and think, hey, maybe, just maybe, there is an opportunity for me to step away from overthinking and be freed from the weight and the chains that it keeps holding me back to. And no matter where you are, you too can make that decision today and choose to think clearly.